This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
It's long about that time of summer where college students are heading back to campus. Dorm living, communal bathrooms, lousy food, or not luxury student housing is all the rage, it seems. Luxury, just for instance, meaning movie theaters and tanning salons. But as with all things luxurious, this kind of housing is not without its costs. From KBIA, Christopher Husted reports.
College juniors Allison Rabel and Jen Croft have just moved into their brand new apartment. It's just off the University of Missouri campus here in Columbia. The unit has all the fixings house hunters crave: flat screen TVs, granite countertops, and a bathroom for every bedroom.
And once we got here, we took a bunch of pictures in front of the door.
With our new neighbors.
And we met a neighbor while we were doing that.
We met a lot of neighbors, actually. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we ran around and we were like, oh my gosh, come look at this. Oh my gosh.
Rabel and Croft have access to rooftop pools with adjoining bars, fitness centers, cardio studios, and a private shuttle. All part of the package of living at a Brookside complex. Here's Croft.
Like, it is more expensive, and every time I tell people my rent, their jaw drops a little bit.
Rabel and Croft's apartment runs about $725 per bedroom, then an extra $35 a month for furnishings and another $55 a month for parking. That's fairly expensive for Columbia, but Rabel says being a block away from campus is what really sold her on the apartment and that she's lucky to have parents help her with rent. These resort-style complexes are attracting a lot of attention nationwide. The problem some critics have with this housing is that it implicitly segregates students based on affluence. Laura Hamilton teaches sociology at the University of California, Merced.
The increased building of these upscale communities surrounding college campuses sort of falls in with the trend of what some people have called the country clubization of college.
Hamilton followed the trajectory of 53 college women over 5 years. She says the students who couldn't afford to live in fancier housing felt alienated.
It does create this segregation effect in the sense that these students are able to create exclusive social networks with people that are just like themselves, and those social networks are often used after college.
Hamilton says students in more modest housing typically are either left behind or burned through student loans to keep up with their wealthier counterparts.
I really feel that our students are less willing to defer that gratification. They've grown up in very nice homes for the most part. That's what they want now. They don't want that in the future.
That's Frankie Miner, the director of residential life at the University of Missouri. He says he has encouraged developers to look at more affordable housing.
No parent wants to deny their son or daughter what they want, but the question is, can you really afford that?
So what role do universities have in the business of off-campus housing? Sarah Goldrick-Rabb researches educational policy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
University officials can encourage or discourage local businesses from creating housing for their students that they think is, you know, consistent with what they want to have for those students.
But she says, let's face it, these upscale complexes attract wealthier students who end up paying more tuition and becoming big donors. In Columbia, Missouri, I'm Christopher Husted for Marketplace.